Check it, check, check. One, two, mic check. Just go ahead and keep it rolling. I'm good. Are you getting sound? Fuck it, let it roll. I suppose I should turn off the Pink Floyd music in the background, right? Ugh, God, you're taking the fun out of everything. Of course you're a woman, that's what you do. Damn you girls. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, wham, wham, wham. You can shove Obama's cock up your ass and call it a safe space. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, the one that you know is true. You're wrong and I'm right. That's how this goes. Some people have tried to disagree with me. They've just embarrassed themselves in the process. I'm the great one. You hurt my feelings. I need a safe space. There is no space that is safe from the cruise missile of my intellect. Once I launch that fucker, it hones right in. On your fucking statism, on your fucking whining, on your crying. As you go, but who will build the roads? And motherfucking Obamacare. God, all this, it's just, there's nothing left. Complete devastation. We just drive through the ruins with a Jeep, not a Humvee, but a Jeep. A good old fucking fashioned World War II Jeep made back when they made shit in America that was worth making. Good old fashioned Jeep with a 50 caliber machine gun mounted in the back. We just drive through the ruins, mow down any survivors. So fuck you all. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. 11 years of podcasting. 11 fucking years of podcasting. Fuck you. On the interweb since 1999. All right. I think I sound drunk. I'm not drunk. I'm just tired. This is our second... I was about to move the microphone stand, then I remembered the chairs on wheels. What a fucking concept. It's our second episode of recording today. And I want to backtrack a little bit because I don't feel like I was really clear about something I talked about earlier. I've also swapped out... I used to have in the recording studio here, I had the little football that I'd sit on while I was recording. Well, back before that, I had just a normal chair. And I swapped that out because the fitball, in theory, is supposed to be better for you to sit on. But I don't know, it's really been aggravating my back lately. So we're going back to a quote-unquote normal office chair. We're going to see how that goes. And everybody's like, do you think we give a fuck what you're sitting on, asshole? I am sitting on my asshole, technically speaking. Well, I guess not really on my asshole, because my asshole is up the butt crack. It's elevated a little bit above the chair. I'm actually sitting on the butt cheeks. Yes, this is the fascinating shit that you tune into this podcast to hear me talk about. I do have a beer with me. This is a Deceit Belgian-style golden ale from Funkworks, one of my two favorite breweries here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. The other one, of course, being Equinox. It's really good. The best Funkworks beer, though, in my opinion, is the Tropic King Saison. Highly recommended. All right. Let me pull this shit out of the pile on the floor. Again, those of you new to the show, I am the Great One himself, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can send us email. That's me and Randy. You can send us email. Love mail, hate mail, naked pictures if you're an attractive human being. We don't want to see any naked pictures of ugly people. And you can give Bitcoin. Go to the website, donate some fucking Bitcoin, you goddamn selfish bastards. Remember, like Stefan Molyneux, if you listen to the podcast without paying for it, you are stealing. Wham, wham. Wham, 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 wham. Go give me some Bitcoin. All right, look. In this episode, we're going to continue just reading stupid shit out of newspapers, illustrating why I don't read newspapers and why you shouldn't read newspapers. Again, when you look at the fucking... Randy, what time is it? Thanks. When you look at the fucking intelligence, I mean, just read the shit in the newspaper and ask yourself, is this news? Does anybody give a shit? Why is this important? You know, what am I not being told? Oh, it's all just bullshit. All of this stuff can be solved with a little bit of fucking natural selection and anarcho-capitalism. I hate to be simplistic. I don't hate to be simplistic. I love to be simplistic when it's applicable. That was just an expression. I hate to be simplistic. No, I don't hate. You know, it's like, well, I'm sorry to tell you the bad. No, I love telling you the bad news. Yeah, remember you voted for Obama and you still can't afford Obamacare because it's too fucking expensive? I'm not sorry to tell you the bad news. I'm going to laugh in your motherfucking face. You voted for Obama because you thought he was going to end some wars, and he's, what, bombed 7 countries in 6 years. Yeah, that's not war. Yeah, Obama really, yeah, he stopped the bailout of the corporations. I'm not sorry at all to tell you that rich people still aren't paying their quote-unquote fair share. And I'm not sorry to tell you that Hillary Clinton's going to win the next election and everything will continue business as usual. All right. God, I'm tired. My brain's shutting down. I don't care. I'm genius. At least that's a fantasy I fucking tell myself. All right, look. I talked about this thing. Vote yes on Proposition 1. Houston. This is Houston, Texas. This is a full-page ad from the Houston Chronicle. Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance. And it says a thing down here where it says that it does not afford any special privileges for any group of people. And I said, that's not true. That's impossible. Because all laws create special privileges for a group of people. And I think I need to talk about that a little bit more in order to back that shit up. Any kind of law, any law that is passed by the government, created by the government, fictitiousized by the government. Now, we also have to separate to an extent. My voice is also shitting out, by the way. So for some reason, I decided, hey, my voice is going shitty. Let's record another podcast. Because that's what passes for intelligence, obviously. Okay, any law that gets passed, in theory, is supposed to be applied across the board. And that may or may not be relevant. So, this isn't planned out. I'm working through this right now, out loud, with you, because this is what I do here. My assertion, my thesis, is that every law, any and every law, creates a privileged group of people. Now, because this is a philosophy show, I want to work through this in detail. So first of all, I'm not saying, get my fucking words right, this is a philosophy show, remember? I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing in every circumstance. Okay. Stop signs. You have a crossroads. You have stop signs on the north and south. You do not have stop signs on the east and west. Okay. The presence of the stop signs on the north and south roads mean people traveling north and south roads have to come to a complete stop, while people traveling east and west do not come to a stop. This law, the presence of those stop signs, has created a privileged group of people. The privileged group of people are those traveling east-west. They are privileged at the expense of the people traveling north-south. Again, I'm not saying this is bad. I'm not a fucking femistatist. I'm not screaming patriarchy and oppression and shit. I mean, this is fine. It's a system. It works. It allows the traffic to flow and for there not to be traffic accidents. And it creates a privileged group of people. If you think it doesn't, then you're too stupid to be listening to this podcast and you should leave now. So when you tell me, and all I know about Proposition 1, Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance, is what I'm seeing on this one piece of paper. This is all I know about it. I don't know anything else. I still haven't gone on the internet to Google it to see if the thing fucking won in the election or not, because I still don't give a shit. And this is, you know, I remember when I started this podcast. Let's go back there. Remember 11 years ago, Shani, when a lot of you out there were still pissing in your pants. 11 years ago when I started this podcast. I remember when I was really interested in politics and what the government was doing, and I would analyze things like this. You know, I'd read about the laws that we're trying to pass, and I'd read about them and analyze them and be like, what's the effect going to be, and all this other shit. I mean, at this point, I'm over it. There's no point in, you know, haggling or trying to analyze something like Proposition 1, the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, and determine if it's good or bad is a lot like haggling over, should we put shag carpet or I'll change my examples to use words that I can fucking pronounce. Should we put shag carpet or should we put hardwood floors in the barracks of the Nazi concentration camps where the Jews are being exterminated? Let's debate that. So let's see, here's the merits of hardwood floors in the fucking barracks at the concentration camps means that it'll be easier to clean up the mess when people are bleeding or if they have to piss on the floor or shit on the floor. So I think that's a really good reason to vote for the hardwood floors. Now, a good reason to vote for the shag, but see, the shag carpet will absorb any kind of fluids like blood or urine or diarrhea or vomit that go onto the floor, and it will hide them better, and so we won't have to clean up as often. So that's a really positive benefit of that. That's why I think we should vote for shag carpet. And in our example here, the average person known as the voter, who, if natural selection were allowed to take place, would all be dead, of course. Randy, did you see the computer just freeze up? Yeah, so did I. I fucking hate technology. The voter, the sheeple, the person who should be dead if natural selection were allowed to take place, will actually engage in this debate. Should there be wood floors or shag carpets in the barracks of the Nazi concentration camp where the Jews are exterminated? Because to them, they think that having this debate is enlightened and a part of democracy. And they're just too fucking stupid to understand that the concentration camp shouldn't exist in the first place. Because, of course, the concentration camp should exist. It was created by the government, and anything the government does is always right. Because you can't question the government, right? This is why there's a saying that nothing is certain except death and taxes. Well, no, I mean, actually humans, I mean, unless you deny evolution, humans, Homo sapiens sapien, existed for many, many years without paying taxes. And the idea that you have to pay taxes, that this is an undeniable aspect of existing. The fact that people accept the idea that paying taxes is an undeniable aspect of existing illustrates why those people should be dead and why natural selection should be allowed to take place. There is no evolutionary biological component that mandates paying taxes. There's an evolutionary biological component that mandates reproducing. There's an evolutionary biological component that mandates death. There's an evolutionary biological component that mandates eating, excreting, sleeping. I would even argue there's an evolutionary biological component that mandates interacting with other humans in a way that's beneficial. Humans are social creatures. I've argued this before many times, as have many other people. But there is no inherent evolutionary biological mechanism that necessitates paying taxes the way dying, breathing, eating, sleeping, urinating are all mandated by biology and evolution. So I can only assume those of you who believe that death and taxes are inevitable are simply denying evolution when you say that humans have never existed without paying taxes. Now, some of you out there will argue, well, that's not what we mean, and I've been through this before. I don't give a fuck what you mean. I only have access to what you say because I'm not a mind reader. And what you're saying is stupid because you're stupid. And you're a statist because in the absence of the state to provide for you and keep you alive, you would be dead and you know it. So let's get back to Proposition 1. Proposition 1 right here claims that it's going to protect every Houstonian from discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, familial status, marital status, military status, religion, disability, sexual orientation, genetic information, gender identity, and pregnancy. It's an ordinance, not a law. I don't know what the difference between an ordinance and a law is, because, again, that's the sort of thing that 11 years ago, I would have been discussing the difference between an ordinance and a law. I'm beyond that now. It's like, well, when we gas the Jews, should we gas them with a mixture that's 20% mustard gas, or should it be 25% mustard gas? What if you just didn't gas any Jews? So that would be the preferable outcome. So it's going to protect all these Houstonians it's going to protect them from discrimination based on all of these things. Who's it going to protect them from? Well, it's not going to protect them from the government. If the government, I'm trying to think of a legit example here. Okay. If the government says, we are going to implement quotas in the fire department, and we're going to say we have a quota, we have to have at least 20% of the firemen have to be female. If a man is passed up for a job at the fire department because he's not a woman, this ordinance is not going to protect him. It's not. It's not going to protect him. That's a government quota. It's not going to protect him. So when you say that this ordinance will protect every Houstonian from discrimination on the basis of these things, who are they being protected from? Well, they're being protected from other people, from other Houstonians, which means you're creating a group of people that have special privileges. I mean, if you don't give this person who is being protected privilege so as to protect them, then you're not protecting them. When there's this assertion made that it's going to protect people from discrimination, you can only be protecting them from discrimination from other people. Thus, you have to give group A, the group you're protecting, special privileges to protect them from group B. Just as the people driving east-west have special privileges that protect them from the people driving north-south. It's called stop signs. There's stop signs on the north-south road. Those people stop. They yield to the people going east-west. The people going east-west, by virtue of going east-west, have special privileges. Again, the example I gave in the previous podcast. If this passes, will 17-year-old people be able to purchase alcohol and tobacco? Well, no, of course not. They're still discriminated against because of their age, even though this clearly says this is going to protect every Houstonian from discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age. Age. It says that right there. And the fact that even this amount of thinking is beyond the 99% explains again, as I've said before, why, despite everything you may hear from some people within the anarcho-capitalist sphere, we are not winning. There's these people who claim that liberty, freedom, whatever you want to call it, is winning. We're not. It's not. People are rapidly becoming stupider and stupider and stupider. Any and every law, again, I challenge, if you can think of an example, throw it at me. Any and every law creates a group of people who is privileged at the expense of another group of people. Minimum wage law. It creates a group of people who are privileged at the expense of others. It means that you have to pay this group of people this minimum wage. So it means that you've got a privileged group, the minimum wage workers, and a group that is discriminated against. The employers who now have to pay them more money, even though they're probably not worth more money, because how much skill, effort, intelligence does it take to ask somebody, would you like fries with that? I want to talk about this one again also. Wall Street Journal. We're back to the Wall Street Journal now. Fed's unsolved puzzle, how to deflate bubbles. Federal Reserve officials participating in a war game exercise this year came to a disturbing conclusion. 6 years after the financial crisis ended, the central bank remained ill-equipped to quell the kind of dangerous asset bubbles that destabilized the savings and loan industry during the late 1980s, tech stocks in the 1990s, and housing in the mid-2000s. Yes. The fact that these idiots think that they can somehow or another do something about these economic bubbles. You know what this is exactly like? My God, this is why I'm fucking brilliant. My brain power is almost as massive as my cock. My cock is massive. Ask your girlfriend, she'll tell you. Or just ask your mom. All right, look. The global warming wackos. We can always get back to global warming wackos. The global warming wackos fail to understand that the climate of the planet Earth has existed longer than they have. And while the climate may undergo, well, the climate may, the climate does undergo changes. Some of the changes to the climate are from the limited human perspective, and I mean limited in the sense of time span and magnitude. Well, again, people always say, well, this is the coldest year or the warmest year in 10 years, or whatever. It's like, again, this denial of science and history and evolution. It's like, do you realize that the Earth is really fucking old? Do you realize that, you know, since the rocks, I have a technical term for it, I'll call them rocks, the debris, the matter that was initially swirling around in space from the time it coalesced and formed the planet Earth, the climate of the planet Earth has been changing since that day. And when you attempt to compare your 10 years of experience to the entire geological history of the planet Earth, it doesn't amount to jack shit. But the global warming wackos, because they're mind-blowingly stupid, they're just stupid beyond words, will assert that we're all going to die because this is the quote-unquote warmest year on record by 0.003 degrees centigrade. And that this is significant. And that we have to do something. When in fact the climate of the planet Earth, which is a giant cycle that goes, again, all the way back to the day the Earth formed, and will continue into the future, and is completely beyond the understanding of any one person, despite the fact that there's a lot of people with computer models who think they understand it. The climate will continue. Now, this doesn't mean things humans do cannot influence the climate. Of course they can. But ultimately, anything we can do to influence the climate really isn't going to matter, because we're just not that powerful. We can detonate every nuclear weapon on the planet. It'll fuck the climate up, but you come back in 10,000 years, the climate's not going to give a shit, because the climate keeps right the fuck on going. Because nature, evolution, natural selection, physics, all the things you don't believe in, are much more powerful than humans. Those things created us. We, humans, were created by evolution, natural selection, physics. I know you don't think that because you're a stupid motherfucker. You're a fucking statist. But they did. We are nothing compared to the climate. I dare say almost the same thing is true, in the sense of making an analogy here. The same thing is true of the economy. You've got these fucking morons. Okay, look, the economy. I've explained this before. So what is the climate? The climate, right, is everything that happens on the planet Earth. Ever since way, way fucking back when, starting then, continuing into now and into the future. The climate is every drop of water, every bit of wind, every bit of sunshine, every bit of heat, every bit of cold. I know there's no such thing as a bit of heat and cold. Just fucking suck my dick, okay, considering you don't believe in evolution, because you think that humans have never existed without taxation. So go fuck yourself. All of those things combined, okay, temperature, radiation, sunlight is radiation for those of you who are stupid. Sunlight, radiation, water, wind, dust particles, all of these things come together, work together to create the climate. It's so nuanced and so complicated that it is beyond human understanding. And I don't give a fuck about your goddamn computer. I don't give a fuck. If your computer doesn't work, if your computer worked, weather forecasting would be accurate. Okay, your computer doesn't fucking work. It's guesstimates. The economy. I hate to blow. See, there I go again. It's an expression. I was about to say, I hate to blow my own horn, but I'm pretty brilliant today. I don't hate to. I am fucking brilliant right now. If you're listening to this right now, I want you to note the brilliance here. This is why I am the great one himself, and this is why I've been podcasting for 11 fucking years. And again, I'm serious. If you can actually, I don't want to hear about racist, sexist, homophobic. I don't want to hear about your fucking safe space. But if you think you see an actual, legitimate, logical flaw in anything I'm saying, I want to hear about it. I have addressed commentary from my listeners in the past where they've disagreed with me. If you're a femistatist, I just want you to go shoot yourself in the face with a shotgun. Okay. The economy. The economy, in quotes. What is the economy? If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've heard this before. But if you're relatively new, this will be the first time I've done this for you. The economy is the actions and the decisions of every person on the planet Earth. 7 billion people on the planet Earth. 7 billion people. The economy. And you may say, well, no, they're talking about the economy of the United States. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. The economy of the United States is the net result. It is the product of It is a direct reflection of the actions. I know earlier I said the actions and decisions, but decisions don't really matter unless they manifest as actions. I think we can leave it at actions. The economy is the reflection, the manifestation, the result of the actions of every human on the planet Earth. If you personally choose to buy a television or a car or an iPhone or a newspaper or a six-pack of beer, where was that item manufactured? Was it manufactured in the United States? Was it manufactured in China? Was it manufactured in Mexico? Who made the choice to manufacture that item? Who made a choice not to manufacture that item? It's not just a matter of what you choose to purchase, what you choose not to purchase. Who chooses to purchase this? Who chooses to not purchase that? It's, do you choose to employ other people? Do you choose to not employ other people? Remember, money, as Aaron Cleary has pointed out, I got this from him, one of many brilliant things I've learned from Aaron Cleary, a brilliant economist, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Money is time. Money is taking your time and putting it into a form that you can exchange it with other people. Right? If you work for $10 an hour, you work for an hour. You've given up an hour of your life, and you get $10 in return. Then you take that $10, and you can use that $10 to buy $10 worth of somebody else's time. Maybe that $10 worth of somebody else's time is a four-pack, because they don't come in six-packs, is a four-pack of Funkworks Deceit Belgian-style golden ale. Right, so I work for an hour for $10. I now have $10 for that hour of my life. And then I give that $10 to the liquor store, and the liquor store gives me a four-pack of beer. And this, of course, for those of you who are stupid, for those of you who are statist, this is why taxation is theft. Because when the government taxes me, they are taking not just my money, they're taking part of my life. And I know that's a little too nuanced for you to understand if you're a statist, because the only thing you can focus on is who's going to build your fucking roads. Because apparently roads are so fucking complicated that nobody but the government can make a fucking flat place on the ground. The economy is the actions and inactions of everyone on the planet, especially today. There may have been a time when you could have argued that the economy in North America had nothing to do with the economy in China, right? Back in the day, before the evil Christopher Columbus came across the ocean, and the wonderful, pristine Native Americans who are all vegans and lived in harmony with the earth and all this other shit, you know, back in those days, you could argue that the economy of North America had nothing to do with the economy of China. You can't make that argument anymore. And when these economic bubbles arise, they're doing this because something somewhere is going out of control. It's just like, dare we come back to my favorite thing, evolution and natural selection. Okay, look. If the rabbit population breeds too much and there get to be too many of them, or let's say you've got the rabbits and you have the wolves, and the wolves eat the rabbits and they keep them in check. So let's say something happens to the wolves. There's a wolf virus that goes around. The wolves die off. Well, now there's nothing keeping the rabbits in check. So the rabbits reproduce really rapidly. Now there's a bunch of rabbits. But they all have to eat. There's still the same amount of plants, though, that the rabbits feed on, and so you have a problem where the rabbits eat too much food, and they either have to migrate somewhere else, or they have to starve to death. And so a bunch of them starve to death, they die, you get the population back down, it comes back into balance. That's called science. I know it's really complicated. I know. Who's going to build the roads, and why don't the rabbits have Obamacare? And there ought to be a law to protect them against discrimination. And maybe there should be a motherfucking food stamps so the rabbits don't go hungry. It's the same thing with the economy. Okay, when there's a bubble and something blows up, for example, the approaching college education bubble, where there's going to be all these people with college educations that can't get jobs, there's going to be all this student loan debt that they can't pay off. And people are going, well, what's the government going to do about it? The government can't do anything about it. The impact the government can have on the economy. Now, this is back to my brilliance. This is more of it. Human activity can have an influence on the environment. As I said, it can have an influence on the climate. But ultimately, the climate is more powerful and doesn't give a fuck. It's the same thing with the government and the economy. The government can have an influence on the economy, but ultimately, the economy, because remember, the economy, as I said, the economy is the actions and inactions of all 7 billion people on the planet. The economy is not simply the market that you see, it's also the black market. Every action people engage in is the economy. The government, through the Federal Reserve, through its laws, through the Byzantine tax codes and all this other horse shit. Right, the government can have an impact on the economy. The government can pass a law that says you have to be 21 to purchase alcohol, but we all know that the reality of the economy is that I was getting alcohol when I was 16 years old and not having any fucking problem whatsoever doing it. Okay, that's the reality of the economy. So the government, the Federal Reserve, when these bubbles happen, they can throw some money around and pass some laws and wave their arms and flap their lips and make noise and make motion. And they can have a little bit of influence. But ultimately, the economy, the actions of all 7 billion people on the planet, are much more powerful than the government. And when it gets too far out of balance, it's going to self-correct. It has to self-correct. And the only, and if anything, the government just fucks it up. Again, I've talked about this a million times. All the corporate bailouts. None of those corporations, none of those banking corporations, none of those automotive corporations should have been bailed out. That was the economy attempting to correct itself. So the government jumped in and they bailed them out, and they had an impact on the economy. But long term, ultimately, the economy, the 7 billion people on the planet Earth, are going to win. Now, of course, we have the problem. I talked about this before. I talked about this in the sense that, that's the wrong phrasing. I talked about this in the context of my assertion that the market is not going to deliver freedom. I did a, I think it was an Anarchy Moment about this, because Ben Stone, who apparently isn't podcasting anymore, and who used to be one of my mentors of the anarcho-capitalist sphere until he became a social justice warrior and a femistatist. You know, Ben Stone used to assert, or does assert, I haven't listened to him lately, so we'll say he used to assert, he has asserted in the past, that when the market, and the market is of course a reflection of the desires of people, that is what the market is. When the market wants freedom, freedom will happen. And that's Ben Stone's assertion, and that's why he thinks that a free society is inevitable. And I think he's wrong, because the problem with that thesis is that if the market is made up of stupid people, if the market is made up of parasites and statists, they're not going to demand freedom. And that is what the market is made up of right now, today. It is parasites, it is statists, it is people that natural selection would have removed from existence. Well, the market, the economy, same thing. The 7 billion people on planet Earth, the potential downfall of the quote-unquote economy, the actions and inactions of the 7 billion people, is the fact that most of those 7 billion people are idiots. Most of them are statist. Most of them are parasites. The climate is perpetually self-correcting because there's no consciousness behind it. It is a dynamic based entirely upon physics. The economy, unfortunately, is a dynamic based on human actions and inactions. And human actions and inactions have a conscious dynamic behind them, which right now, at this point in our history, because of the fact that so many people have been insulated from natural selection, and the fact that so many people are parasites, it means that the economy is being driven by inferior people. And we're going to see more bubbles, not fewer. Now, there is one aspect of the economy that isn't driven by people, and that's simply math. Economics, in addition to being the actions, well, as I say, the economy is the actions of everyone, but math figures into it as well. I mean, again, you can't spend more money than you earn. You can do it in the short term, but eventually it has to crash. We're going to have more bubbles in the future because we have a lot of stupid people who don't understand you can't spend more money than you earn, who don't understand that a liberal arts degree isn't going to get them a job, who don't understand that going into debt for $120,000 for a college diploma is something you can't pay off. And the bubbles are going to continue to come, and there's nothing that can be done about them. They have to, and they will, self-correct, because math will force that part. Math will force the self-correcting part of the economy. The economy, however, is going to keep fucking up because it's a reflection of the actions and inactions of the 7 billion people, 6.9 billion of which are completely fucking stupid beyond belief and shouldn't be alive. So no, the Federal Reserve cannot lessen, mitigate, fix, prevent, predict any of these bubbles. That's just the way it works. The only thing the government can do is just prolong the agony. I don't need to bother with the other side. I'm right. Go back to your safe space and go fuck yourself. I'm right. It's fucking good to be me.